Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Specters, welcome back to Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I almost forgot to unmute my mic there. We are back. Sam and I are here to talk about something that is very important to the galaxy. Maybe one of the most important things.
Capitalists rejoice. We have heard many, many suggestions from our listeners that we should cover the corporations of Mass Effect in their own series, like we did with Factions. So that's what we're starting today.
Yeah, so we talk about corporations, everybody's favorite thing, corporations. But without corporations, we wouldn't have some of these awesome things like, technology. So that's fun. We're knocking it out of the park lately with these intros. Or I guess I am. So, Sam, where do we start? How do we start talking about corporations? Where are we going with this? Because I know there's a number of them.
Right. Actually, there's far more corporations mentioned in Mass Effect's lore than I even realized at first. You know, the wiki does a great job of compiling a lot of these things. I was curious about how many corporations are actually mentioned. It looked like 100 or so. Wow. I don't know exactly how many links. There was like a lot of them, but I thought maybe like 10. But as a fair warning, you know, information on most of them is extremely limited. So I'm going to do my best as we go through this series to be as thorough as possible, you know. But if something leaves you wanting, it's either because, I didn't catch it, or the lore just ain't there. More often than not, the lore's not there.
We get a lot of these kinds of questions, or at least across my other shows as well, doing lore casts. I get lots of questions where people say things like, hey, it'd be really cool if you could dive into this in a future episode. And so much of the time, it's like, well, there's two or three sentences about that we know. That's it. And so you can't really do an episode on it. But it seems like we do have enough to go on for at least some of these corporations beyond just their names. So that's fun.
Yes. Right? And we are starting today with a pretty good one, Eldfell Ashland Energy.
Okay, so that one sounds familiar. Why is that one familiar?
So what's interesting here is that this company is so important to the lore, but it's a corporation we never encounter firsthand. Meaning, to my knowledge, we never come upon Eldfell Ashland Energy stores. We never happen across one of their representatives, to my knowledge. There's a reason why it may sound familiar to many players, right? But first, let's go over its origins and its background.
Okay, so how did this company start? And like, what's it all about?
It's a mining and extraction company, and it starts under just one of its names that it would later be known by. It's called Ashland Energy Company. Oh, we know from the Codex that it was the first company to successfully pull helium-3 out of Saturn's atmosphere and then contain that helium-3. And that was all the way back in 2137. So 2 decades before the first contact war,
right?
Like 40 years before the, or 50 years almost, before the start of Mass Effect 1.
Okay. So, I know helium-3 is important, but why exactly is it important?
Well, you know how a lot of sci-fi works of fiction, they often use helium-3 as kind of the catch-all thing for starships. Well, that becomes very important for starships in Mass Effect as well. So this has a big impact on humanity's ability to reach out further in the galaxy.
Okay, so... So it's like a fuel? Like, do they just pump it into the ships, like at a gas station, or just plug it in somehow? How does that work?
So eventually it helps power nuclear fusion engines, but we're not quite there yet. And so for those who are unfamiliar with nuclear fusion, that's different from fission. Fusion fuses, it pushes the two atoms together to create the energy. It doesn't split them apart. And in Mass Effect, helium-3 would be used as the fuel for nuclear fusion engines. But again, that's in the future. We're not quite there yet. First, it has to be refined. It has to be processed, all that jazz. And Ashland is only an energy company. It cannot do all of the parts of that process quite yet. So, like any corporation in today's world, it tries to diversify, right? Mm-hmm. And here's what we get from the Codex in the next part. It says, on this wave of success, meaning, you know, being the first company to harness helium-3 and get it from Saturn's atmosphere, on this wave of success, they merged with Eldfeld Construction to vertically integrate the two companies' strength. Ashland would recover the raw materials for energy production, and Eldfell would build power plants, refineries, and pipelines on nearby worlds to distribute Ashland's products to the consumer. And thus, Eldfeld Ashland Energy was born.
So, I mean, they're speaking about like physical pipelines for getting elements and materials and things like that moved around. But what they've also done is designed a company pipeline for all the different elements that you would need in order to do the different parts, just like we do in our own real world companies. Like so many of these big corporations have these minor corporations or other companies underneath them that kind of manage different aspects of the whole process. Right. So it's kind of like our own world.
Right. And this looks to be more of a merger than an acquisition, if you want to go there, you know, because they do adopt the hyphenated name Eldfell Ashland Energy. So it becomes this big energy conglomerate, I guess you could say. And, you know, it doesn't seem like the governments of Earth in Mass Effect at the time had too much of a problem with this, practicing some kind of tactics toward monopolization.
Yeah.
Not that we ever see that in our own world. That definitely doesn't happen.
Yeah,
right?
We definitely still don't have legal monopolies in this country. Oh, wait. Never mind.
That's right. We totally do. For legal reasons, we won't say their name.
I wonder how they have the ability to have that authority. I wonder if it has... Never mind. That's political. Let's move on.
Yeah, so the Codex does go on, and it tells us that Eldfell Ashland Energy doesn't stop there. They don't stop just by merging with each other. It says, as EAE's reach extended, they absorbed companies to create a, quote, cradle-to-grave corporate experience for their employees. Today, subsidiaries such as Second Star Living recruit colonists to staff EAE facilities, and the education group Excelsior provides job-related education opportunities to provide EAE stations with a qualified incoming workforce. Water, power, food, shipping. EAE provides them all.
From cradle to grave. Don't worry about actually making your own decisions with your life. Just work for us. We'll feed you, we'll give you a place to sleep, we'll treat you terribly, but you'll always have food on the table. Like, this is basically slavery,
yes.
Right? Like, this is just slavery again.
I mean, they're paying them, but they don't have much freedom
away
from the company.
Right, right. And the idea is that the company manages everything, right? This idea that, like, if the company manages all the food that you can buy, all the things that you need for your living expenses, your home, you know, like all of that stuff, then the company is now monopolizing everything in your life, and they can charge everything, anything that they want, and they can also choose what they pay you. So now you're just kind of limited by what the company decides, and for all intents and purposes, you're at least a serf. It's like we're going back to medieval time periods, you know, and they didn't have very many choices about that stuff either.
I can't imagine the contracts these workers sign do not have non-competes. They right. definitely have non-competes.
Right, right. And even then, they probably make it too expensive to get off-world because they probably manage the transit in and out of the location
for
those people
right, yeah.
to leave. Like, even if they wanted to go find another job, they would never have enough money to do so.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, good luck. Sorry, I hear my cat meowing in the background very loudly. Hi, Ochi. So... you can imagine the corporate culture here, right? Being employed by them would probably feel something akin to, since it is like all encompassing, all insular, all, you know, this is your life now. That, yeah. that is what I imagine it would feel like working at Apple or Google or Amazon. And just in my opinion, you know, everyone in your circle works for them. You know, you're encouraged to basically spend so much time around the company and its subsidiaries. It becomes your life. And you become dependent on it for everything. So he who giveth can taketh away.
Right. So, I mean, this has to have like a wider impact on development, right? We'll just call them EAE. Why can't they get away with this? How can they do all of this?
Right. So the short answer there is because apparently no one on Earth's governments stepped in.
Yeah,
and so at this time in 2137, I can't remember if there's a unified Earth. I don't think the Systems Alliance was put up yet. I might be wrong on that. Someone will definitely fact check me, and I encourage them to. But whoever the power was for regulating this kind of thing did not step in. And the Codex tells us, you know, that they can effectively put up cost-free colonies on high value worlds. So you got to imagine these high value garden worlds, they would be very expensive because everyone would be trying to vie for them, you know, and it'd be very, you'd have to act quickly. And apparently EAE can do this with little to no cost. So here's what the Codex tells us. If EAE wants to put up a colony on a garden world, they're able to do so and keep 90% of services performed completely in-house, creating consumers out of its own employees.
Yeah, the whole indentured servitude thing. I mean, it's kind of a land grab. I mean, we went through this in the history of our country as we, you know, proceeded further into the West and took the land from the natives and, you know, people squatted on new land and eventually be able to claim it. But this is a whole different kind of operation because they are so equipped for this. This isn't just like we're going to send people out there and they're going to take the land and we're just going to figure it out as we go. This is a plan from the beginning to move into these garden worlds, take everything, create a system that just works from the beginning where it's 99% of just anything anybody would need to be there. So they don't have to worry about any of that stuff. But at the same time, now they're indentured servants, right? So this must require a lot of funding, and at least to get it started. Is all that money coming just from the helium-3 extraction?
Well, you know, they're mining more than that, much more than that. They're going after base elements like hydrogen and element zero as well. And before we get into the next part, I wanted to also, what you were talking about, it kind of brought up in my mind that they are settling colonies where I don't think the Alliance can really spare the staffing to staff and, right. you know, enact all of this, you know, Systems Alliance law on all of these different colonies, right? I mean, this is just me extrapolating from what I know from the lore. So if that's the case, then EAE almost certainly has its own security force, right? They're an energy contractor.
Right, so right. It's a future version of the Age of Exploration, where companies like the East India Company had to manage their own security and like source their own food and their own supply lines and those kinds of things when they would set up a colony somewhere. But it's different because it's the future. And on top of it, they have all of that history that they can learn from and incorporate things using new technology and manpower that we wouldn't have had at the time in order to do this. And you're right. They're probably very much extending past the boundaries of the government. And so there's no oversight. They can kind of do whatever they want.
Right. If you violate corporate policy, you have effectively violated the law if you are in a far-flung colony. I mean, again, just speculation. But we're going back to the established lore, we know from the Codex that Eldfell Ashland Energy is also trading in futures commodities.
Right. So
like futures contracts.
Right. Futures contracts are tricky. I'm not much of an accountant or somebody who does a lot of trading, but it has to do with anticipation of where the market will go and buying low or buying high with the ability to sell or purchase or whatever based on the what ifs. So you kind of hedge your bets within certain ranges, and then that allows you to make money off of basically trading by itself. So
yeah, it's very popular in commodities. When we're talking about commodities, we're talking about physical things like corn, wheat, oil, things like that. So here I found this good explanation from The Motley Fool. It says, quote, if you own a farm, for example, and you grow corn, you may want to lock in a price for your corn before it's time to harvest. That can guarantee a certain level of income for the year, and there won't be any surprises if the price of corn tanks. However, it also means that you won't reap the benefits if the price of corn skyrockets before it's time to harvest.
Right.
So,
right.
Like it's, you said, they're hedging their bets.
Right, right. It's a risk to make sure that they at least make enough, but then it also shoots you in the foot if things turn out really, really good.
Now imagine that it's not corn, but it's helium-3 and element-0, and you don't just own the mining company, but all of the companies that support your mining too. So you can set the prices in the future, hedge your income, guarantee your own stability, and then catch more revenue from employees who have no choice but to buy from your own profit-guaranteed prices.
Right, right. And there's even more complexities in this sort of thing, because when you have multi-tiered businesses, you can often hide any of the loss in one of those segments, one of those businesses or specific industries, and write it off from the others. So there are ways of like hiding your money for tax reasons. Or for example, this is one of the things they do in the movie industry. Do you know about this? Oftentimes they'll make deals with directors or actors or whoever to give them a percentage of like total profit or something like that. And everybody's like, oh, that looks great. But then they move the numbers around to put all the losses at the same tier of the thing that they're supposed to be making a percentage of the profit in, which means that it looks like they made no profit, because at that tier, it was a loss and all the profit gets moved to the distribution tier rather than the production
tier. Avoiding
taxes. Right, yeah. To avoid taxes, but to also make sure that they screw over, say, that director who they gave 2 points on the film, which means they would have gotten 2% of the actual profit of the movie. So Hollywood does this all the time, and like other industries do as well. So clearly they're on that same game.
Well, that's encouraging to know that apparently, as advanced as Mass Effect is, that somehow, you know, vertically integrated mining conglomerates are allowed to trade in the futures of their own products who have employees who can't buy outside
it's also
of their company.
Super sketchy. It's really sketchy. Yeah. Well, we've got more stuff to get to, but we have to go thank our patrons. So we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this
Lorecast
is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. Thank you so much to all of our patrons over at patreon.com/MassEffectLorecast for your support and for helping out the show. We don't have any new patrons to shout out this week, but if you do sign up, we'll shout you out next week. And we have our Shepherd tier patrons to shout out every week, including Ed Boy, Kiracy, Lieutenant Tosino, and William. Thank you so much for your support. And to all, again, 69, nice, of our patrons, thank you for supporting us. Also, we got this new review that came in from somebody who I've already seen in our live chat. I hope they're still here. This is from NZ Superman NZ from, guess where? New Zealand. That's what the NZs are for. I don't know if you would have figured that out.
Always welcome a Kiwi.
Always welcome Kiwi. I love the New Zealander accent. I'm sure there's probably variations across the, you know, the country, but just in general, oh, it's such a good accent. But anyway, they wrote a whole bunch. I'm trying to get through this as quick as we can. It says, best lore cast among the stars, 5 stars. Hey there, robots and N7, Tom and Sam. Love your guys' work. My name is Darian, probably Darian, probably something like that. But I go by NZ Superman. I am from New Zealand. I found your guys' podcast just last year, November, actually, just wanting to jump into some Lorecast. I actually started off with Fallout, and then boom, I happened to see that Robots had started a Mass Effect Lorecast also, which in my opinion is the best sci-fi game ever, sci-fi series ever, actually, they say here. So killing two birds with one stone, really, I love lore and love Mass Effect. Love your guys' dedication to teaching us fans all over the globe the extended and non-explored parts of Mass Effect whilst giving us insight into two different perceptions of it all. I've binged the catalog and I'm up to date, which is a victory, haha. As I can watch the live streams that you guys do on Twitch and chat away with the topics you guys speak about. In all honesty, I could talk about this forever, but just want to say, continue with the epic work you guys have done and continue to do. You have a fan from New Zealand who will be right alongside, always listening, a bunch of smiley faces. As the legendary Shepherd says, this is my favorite Lorecast on the Citadel. Thanks, team. Awesome, Superman. That's great.
Yeah, thank you, Superman. Appreciate it. And I'm constantly surprised by the reach of Mass Effect. How many different fans there are around the world of this game series.
It really is amazing. But yeah, thank you so much. And if you'd like to get your words on the show, then leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. You don't have to be listening on there. You just need an Apple account and then you can look it up and leave a review. We'll read out your words on a future episode. You can leave a 5-star review on Spotify or whatever other platform you are listening on. You can share the show with your friends. There's lots of ways to help us out. And you can always jump in the Discord and chat along with everybody else. Thank you so much for being here. Let's move on with the rest of this corporations. I'm sure we've got more to talk about. Here we go.
More corpos.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
Oh, I forgot. I forgot. We got a planet card.
We need sounder. That's right. I forgot to send you the sound effect that people had brought up on YouTube. The sound effect being, you know, that sound when you're scanning a planet and you deploy a probe and Edie says, like, you know, probe away. That would be perfect.
Yes, that would be perfect. Yeah. I got so caught up in the fun review that... okay, well, let's talk about the planet card. Where are we talking? Where are we going?
Okay, so this planet is named Saradril. Saradril
sounds like a medicine you take when you have a sore throat or something.
Saradril. Now in cherry.
New Saradril. So, do you ever feel like you just can't swallow? Saradril will help.
Well... I hope that's for people just with a cough. But anyway, this is Saradril, Sirkesh's sister planet. It says it's in a weak hothouse state, retaining enough carbon dioxide and monoxide to form an atmosphere thicker than a garden world's, but thinner than a true hothouse like Venus. In the early days of Solarian space exploration, the species saw mining the planet as an engineering challenge. When the Solarians made contact with the Asari, the robo-mining industry developed for planets like Saradril quickly became the galactic standard. So here we're hearing that robo mining is the galactic standard. There are no, they're using actual people to mine is a rarity now. So
okay.
The planet is named for the Saradril clan, specifically the Solarian Dalatras Saradril II Sorason Malnetia Parture Nura.
Wait, say that
and
again?
By the way,
say it again.
I will take an award for saying that that's the first time I ever said that out loud, and I nailed it. So
you did
I'm
nail
very
it.
Proud of myself.
Yeah.
So it's Saradril II Sorason Malnetia Parture Nura.
I feel like you're hitting on me. In some foreign language.
So this is Solarian Dalatras who sponsored the first manned mission to the planet. In antiquity, the planet was named for various gods, as well as the astronomer who first classified it as a planet rather than a star. But Nura's political machinations won out, and the planet now bears her clan's name, all on standard Solarian star maps.
Nice, nice. So they use robots to mine things instead of people. Seems like a good idea.
Solarians are not too burly, so that makes sense.
It does make sense. It also makes sense that they wouldn't abuse their population like the corporation that we've been talking about this whole episode.
Well, Solarians can certainly be abusive, but we've talked about that on other episodes.
Sure. Yeah. So, okay. So you mentioned that we've also discussed, and we'll call them EAE again before, but most of what I just heard was totally new to me. When did we bring it up before?
So we talked about Eldfell Ashland Energy before in an earlier episode, and let's just start by saying the all-powerful mining conglomerate corporation has a dark past. Imagine that.
Huh.
And you remember how Cerberus has these shell companies and other companies it manipulates into acting on their behest? Well, keep that in mind as we dive into an incident that happened about 33 years after Eldfell Ashland was formed in 2170. An Eldfell Ashland energy vessel exploded over the planet Yandoa. It exposed the entire colony to dust form element zero.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. This is what directly impacts Jillian Grayson. She's one of the main characters of Mass Effect Ascension. She was born on Yandoa. Hold on. Now I'm like going full into Bane, you know. Oh, yes, you think you know the Ezo. I was born in it, molded by it. Jillian, why do you sound like Tom Hardy?
I was born on Yandoa. Oh.
Oh, yes. I heard somebody tried to do a Bane accent recently. I was watching Games Done Quick, and somebody was doing funny accents. But they didn't cup their hands in front of their face. It would have been so much better.
You have to cup your hands in front of your face, Batman.
It has to be slightly muffled.
Right.
Yeah. And actually, right. It works if you have any kind of mug or thermos, like I do in my hand right now.
Yeah.
And you can...
As soon as you're talking to this,
right.
It gives it a nice echoey feeling. Batman.
Yeah, you can't do it without that. You need something. It needs like some sort of special effect. But anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so Jillian Grayson is Bane, and she was born on Yandoa. She was exposed to this Ezo from EAA's accident while she was in utero, in the womb. Mm-hmm. And she later grows up to exhibit these incredible biotic powers. But she's also a victim of Cerberus because she
Aren't
was kidnapped.
Aren't we all?
Raise your hand if you have been victimized by Cerberus.
Cerberus touch you in a bad way? Raise your hand.
Yeah. Cerberus kidnaps Jillian as a baby and then gave her to a Cerberus agent to pose as her father. And then purely as a means, by the way, to infiltrate the Grissom Academy for Biotics run by the Alliance. Mm. This is the main plot of Mass Effect Ascension. It follows through with Mass Effect Retribution. Great books, by the way. You should read them. So, you know, if you ask Cerberus, EAE's crash was a fortunate accident, is probably how they would put it, because many people were exposed to Ezo, to improve humanity. And, you know, give the tools the human beings need to defend Earth's space from these invader aliens or something like that. But here's the crazy part. That accident over Yandoa was in 2170. But 20 years before that, there were a series of starship accidents on Earth that, you guessed it, exposed people to Ezo, like Kaden.
Right, yeah, yeah.
That's how Kaden was exposed.
Yeah.
And those largely resulted in tragedy, lots of children with cancer, people failing organs, lots of death. But there were very few people who didn't really get the horrible side effects. But some who were exposed in utero grew up with these stellar biotic abilities. So this is the case for Kaden. And from what I remember, it's what happened or what likely happened to Commander Shepard if Shepard is a biotic. Unless I guess you were a spacer, in which case that wouldn't make sense. But so the point is, in bringing this up, that by that time that the Eldfell Ashland energy accident, quote unquote accident, happened, it was well known what would happen to people if they were exposed to Ezo.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, huge mining conglomerate's ship explodes over Yandoa. So in reality, it's really not an accident. There is considerable speculation it was planned. I couldn't find the exact source of whether or not it confirms it or not, but I remember just from
it seems
you know,
highly
the books
implied.
And whatnot.
Yeah, from what I recall when we talked about it before, it seems like it was a very highly implied thing. Like it was to the benefit of Cerberus and what they were trying to accomplish. And there's a history of this happening in the past on Earth, right. All of that stuff, right? Yeah.
It would undoubtedly have resulted in death and terminal illness for a lot of people, right? Innocent people. And then it's followed up by two other similar quote-unquote accidents in other colonies in the months afterward.
Right, which totally seems intentional again. So you mentioned Kaden, right? He ended up getting scouted for the Special Academy for Biotics, right?
Yeah, BOT, or commonly called Brain Camp, or I think that's what it's called. It's effectively run by this other company, another corporation called Kinetics Industries. That company was actually founded to track down these biotically gifted children, recruit them, train them, study their growth and their manipulation of the energy, and then build implants for them to use to better control it. Mm-hmm. We all talk about BOT back in the Caden episodes, you know, but the important part here is that we learn there's significant speculation Kinetics was catching biotic kids coming and going. They were setting up their own supply of profit, so to speak. So, you know, Ezo wasn't naturally occurring on Earth as it was on Thessia. Now, we've already talked about Thessia, how beings evolved to gain biotics because of that. Mm-hmm. So exposure to humans was really finite, and it was pretty much limited to these accident sites, and therefore the total number of kids who were exposed that would develop biotic powers was extra limited too. So if you're a company whose contracts with the Alliance depend upon finding kids with biotic potential to send to Brain Camp, then the limit on your supply is really not a sustainable profit model.
Right. Yeah, when your job is to raise a certain crop and you realize there's not enough of that crop, you plant more crops.
So yes.
Yeah.
And you get where I'm going with that. So basically, with how quickly Kinetics starts finding kids who were exposed to Ezo and, you know, developing biotics, there is considerable speculation it may have been involved in setting up some of those Ezo accidents. So then, so we've talked about Kinetics' possibility of setting up these accidents. And if I'm putting on my conspiracy cap, you know, we're also talking about Eldfell Ashland's Energy's starship accident over Yondoa. We also know from the lore that Cerberus has all of these different shell companies. Really starting to wonder if Cerberus is getting a lot of money from many more corporations than we realize.
Right. Or, there's multiple ways this could play out. Certain CEOs of companies are also part of Cerberus, but they don't claim it outright.
Yes. They don't feel emboldened enough to talk about their human supremacist views publicly.
Right. But they are still in cahoots, and they are part of an inner circle. I mean, this is very similar to like Vault-Tec and Fallout, right?
Well, hold on. Billionaires would never act unethically.
Billionaires would never make real close friends with other billionaires, have perspectives that are different from the common population, feel superior to other people, and then make unethical decisions, feeling like they are empowered and emboldened by both the amount of money they have, the amount of status, their connections, and their political affluence. That could never happen.
Do you know what? You are just jealous because you don't work hard enough.
That's what it is. That's absolutely it. I'm just a lazy bum. I don't work hard enough. I'm just waiting to suckle on the teat of
Elfeld Ashland Energy.
Right. And I'm going to go back into my mines now, and then I'm going to order my $20 cheeseburger for lunch.
But sir, he yearns for the mines.
Oh man.
He yearns for the mines. Yeah, too much avocado. You know what? Hey, Mischievous Sphinx here in chat says too much avocado toast, which, of course, you know, hilarious refrain. I was curious the other day, right? And this is complete break in the lore, just a little bit about housing right now. I was curious in the lore how long it would take me to save up for a home, for a down payment on a home, 20% for a home in this housing market around Seattle. Yikes. It's really steep, right? Yeah. Well, I was curious about the avocado toast. And so I divided the down payment price by the average price of avocado toast around here. Uh-huh. I would have to get something like 97 avocado toasts a day for years.
That's a lot of
for
toast.
For years. And then, anyway, it was crazy. So math, right? But my point stands that Cerberus, I'm fairly certain there's enough breadcrumbs in the lore to trace them back, at least some very strong connections, both to Kinetics and Eldfell Ashland Energy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's all connected. It's all just, but this is conspiracy talk. Conspiracy. It's all, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can we talk about the starships? Let's talk about the starships. To quote Charlie Day in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Well, now that we've become... I guess if woke is still a thing in Mass Effect, are we now woke in Mass Effect for espousing these things?
I guess. I don't know. I feel like woke would mean something about, like, you know, accepting aliens or something. I feel like
allowing Ashley AI to be actual humans and being okay
Ashley
with that.
Ashley might be one of those people who would, like, accuse someone of being woke for inviting aliens aboard the Normandy.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. We pretty well avoided any controversial stuff until about the end of this episode. So you're welcome. If you're one of those people who likes to comment on these videos and tell us how dumb we are, go for it. Thanks for being here.
I'm always up for hearing about how stupid and misguided I am.
Feed the algorithm. We love you. Thanks. This has been a fun look at all the connections and all the stuff going on under the surface with corporations and, of course, Cerberus and all that. But thanks for being here, everybody. Chat, thank you for joining us. Sam, you have anything you want to share before we head out?
Yeah, you know, I'm continuing my Mass Effect personal canon headcanon playthrough on Twitch. I'm doing that every weekend on Saturdays. And so I'll actually be streaming again tonight on this Friday. I've been trying to stream as much as I can during the week, and I'm rotating the games. I was doing some Fallout. Now I'm also streaming Star Wars Jedi Survivor. I've been really enjoying
that
game.
Those are great. I've played through both of those. Those are great. No spoilers, right? You don't know what happens?
I don't know what happens in the very end. I feel like I'm probably about like a third of the way through the game, but I played through Fallen Order, absolutely loved it. I've been loving Jedi Survivor, downloaded a ton of mods so that I can play as, like, you know, a Sith Lord. It's
nice.
Really fun.
Nice. Yeah, it's good. I give that game a firm thumbs up. The combat's fun. The story's interesting. It takes you places. There's some fun twists and turns.
The cinematics are great. Oh, and by the way, for our Mass Effect fans, for those who didn't know, you remember John Ebinger? We interviewed him, cinematic designer for the Mass Effect trilogy. Well, he became the cinematic lead, I want to say, or director for Jedi Fallen Order.
Oh, cool.
John Ebinger. Yeah. Oh, so Mass Effect veterans worked on that one. And anyway, if you want to see any of that, any of my streams anyway, you can follow me on Twitch at N7Legend, same handle on Twitter.
Awesome. Yeah, you can check out my stuff. I do a bunch of other lore casts, and there's a bunch of other shows from all these other hosts that are on Robots Radio over at robotsradio.net. And I don't mention this all the time, but I'm the guy that runs the network, and I'm also the guy that helps people who start new shows and join the network get their shows launched. So if you're looking to launch a new podcast, I'd love to help you out with that. We'll set up a meeting. We'll go over all the details, other things you don't know that you don't know, so that you can kind of cut to the chase and get to the good stuff faster. So that's why I love helping people create content. And, you know, the more awesome content out there, the more there is for us to enjoy. So it kind of benefits me too. So that's fun. But thanks for joining us, everybody. We'll be back next week. And until then, be careful about what jobs you take on foreign planets, because you might get stuck there. So just be careful. All right. We'll see you next time. Bye, everybody.
Thanks for tuning into the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.